Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on the hospitality, music, and entertainment industry with insider tips and the hottest global guests in the biz. With Dr. D and special LA personal development commentator Mike Gormley. He's a restaurant and bar fixture, a partner with legendary rock star drummer Mick Fleetwood in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui, and he's your radio host. And now, from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
You know, nothing. I mean, nothing gets rid of my headache like Tylenol.
Nothing gets rid of my headache like Tylenol.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Jeremiah Show. This is episode 364, and the reason I bring it up is I bring it up because back way back in episode one, if you can remember that far back, if the listeners have been with us that long, can you tell me who this is? For a free t-shirt. Hotlines are open. Jeremiah Show t-shirt and a mug and a coffee mug. Hotlines are open. Call the hotline number. Can you remember back, Dr. D, to the very first show? Do you remember? I would never sit down. I can remember. I'd have to stand. I don't know why. I just felt more comfortable standing. Do you remember that? And you're like, are you really going to stand through the whole show? Do you remember that?
I thought it was a rash.
It was, but he's lying.
It may have been. I don't remember why I was standing. But Soren Hansen was my co-host, along with Pistol and Watson. I wonder whatever happened to them. Soren, how many shows did you do, Soren? Soren Hansen, that's the gentleman we're going to talk about here today and talk to and talk with. Soren?
We probably did about six or seven.
Yeah? I got to go back to those. I'd love to hear how we started out. Anyway, Soren Hansen is our very special guest. He's going to hang out with us this entire episode with Kat and Dr. D and I. And I wanted to tell you, so way back, even way before the very first show, you got a comment?
I'm just going to say that Hank Hill here, I'm very upset. I applied for the job, and I thought for sure I would be getting it. But, you know, there's much more going on in propane and propane accessories. Here at Strickland Propane.
We might have
in
to have
Arlen, Texas.
A voiceover off. A voice battle. Off. A voice battle.
A voice off?
A voice off. So back to, oh my God, you need a doctor over there, doctor?
The doctor needs a doctor.
The doctor that's needs
right,
a doctor.
That's right. I need a doctor. Hello, doctor.
If you tuned in, by the way, and you're expecting anything of real content, any value, anything you'll add to your life, this is not the
show. This isn't the hour.
Not the show. Not this hour. Tune in. Come back some other time. So, episode one, Soren Hansen. Okay. Go back to 1992. I actually did the math.
Okay, that's not back. When we did episode one,
no,
folks.
No, no, we did that.
He's
in
going further back than episode one.
14, I believe, 2014, 15.
Something like that.
was our very first show. But going back even further, I've known Soren since 1992. All right, there were three managers at the Enterprise Fish Company, rest in peace, here in Santa Barbara and Santa Monica. I was hired as a busboy. I was a busboy for managers Greg Hamm, general manager, my uncle, Joey Peralt, and Soren Hansen, who was in charge of all the wine and the bar. And Soren really kind of took me under his wing more than anybody. Showed me the ropes.
There were two ropes.
Yeah, I saw them.
One up there and one over here.
And I think the one up there had a noose on the end just in case things didn't go right. Is that correct, Mr. Hansen?
can't say.
Yana, oh, please instruct the witness to answer the question.
We preferred whipping.
Whipping.
Now that you talk about ropes, though, all around the restaurant there were pulleys, and you had, as a busboy, twice a day, you had to take these boards, the Enterprise Fish Company chalkboards that were as big as a Volkswagen. You had to take them up and take them down, take the dinner, the lunch up, put the lunch mm-hmm. up, take the lunch down, put the dinner up.
Oh, my.
You had to have, and there were two ropes.
Oh, man.
And I
showed you both of them.
You showed me both of them. There were actually, that was the worst. I forgot about that. And then you'd just out of spite, you'd like let the board drop on your uniform so that all the chalk would smear for the dinner crowd, and then you'd go home.
Wow.
Is that Helvet? What is that? How much is that? Soren Hansen, yeah, he showed me the ropes, those two ropes, and taught me eventually. I never wanted to be anything more than a busboy. I had no aspirations of being a server. I'm like, that sounds like too much work. That's too much.
We could tell.
And I got to tell a funny story. So you cut this hot sourdough bread and you put it in a basket. You deliver it to the tables when the guest sits down. And so that was one of the busboy's jobs, right? Well, that's a great job, by the way. Give the busboy a knife and a loaf of bread that everybody's going to eat. The same busboy who just pulled all the dirty dishes off the guest next to you's table.
That seems like really, a smart thing to do.
That's a smart thing to do. Health department loves that. So, I got so nervous my first night or second night. I'm like, it's gonna be busy. I can feel it. All these people are coming. There are hundreds of people coming through the doors. So I took all the sourdough loaves and I cut all of them and sliced all of them up. And I made this big mountain, this big volcano stack of sourdough loaves of bread. And so Soren didn't catch me with it, but one of the bartenders, Neil, walked in and he goes, "What the hell are you doing?" I'm like, getting ready. I'm just prepping. Anyway, I wanted to be a busboy forever. Soren kind of talked me out of it, moved me into a server, taught me all about wine. Such a knowledgeable gentleman about wine. And you also taught me how to do server schedules. I thought it was an honor to take them on, and little did I know that it really sucked. And every server wants to go out, have every Friday and Saturday night off to go to the concert, and they all want to be your friend until they get their night off. Mm-hmm. Anyways, thanks for passing that on, Soren. Server schedules, busboy schedules, host schedules.
Can I interrupt just to which you passed on to me, Jeremiah? FYI.
To which?
Yeah, isn't it? That's another thing. And then I'm finished here. I just thought it was so cool that the three of us, you know, we're kind of reunited here. Kat worked at the Enterprise Fish Company restaurants and the Hurry Curry of Tokyo restaurants. Soren, you know, worked there probably. I don't know who hired you, Kat, but. You know, did I?
Yeah.
Wow. God, we've been together a long time then.
Well, it's you, so, yeah, there were, hired me.
And if you, what does that mean? I don't want to know, actually. Don't put it in. Let's not get that on tape.
Do you want whole night? Do you want
Jeremiah the whole night is beat red tonight? Right now. Oh, my God.
No, I just went to the beach yesterday.
Find the video. If you're listening to this on the radio, find the video somewhere.
I'm sorry, this is not my table.
Kat, do you remember our old co-host, Kat?
Yeah.
Dr. D?
Yeah, I do.
Remember our old co-host, Soren and Kat? Yeah, where are those two
long
right now?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, it goes way, way back.
What does that say about
Jeremiah? I looked up the word workaholic, and there was a picture of Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. He was working, like, he'd work a triple if he could. He'd be in there, you know, cleaning the floors and then doing a double shift and then coming back and prepping. He would work so much. It was just, it was sad. It was just really sad.
It was sad.
You really just have a ability to, like, you know.
I could never tell Soren,
turn the switch
Soren no. Work. People wouldn't show up and Soren would ask me. I could never say no. That's why I work so much, Soren.
Oh, really? I know. There was a lot of times you were knifing people in the parking lot. I'm taking that shift.
I did like money.
My shift.
I liked money.
That's the upper dock on a Saturday, buddy. That's mine.
Oh, yeah.
Section one.
Tell you what, I have a brief history of I've not ever worked with Soren or Kat or Jeremiah. However, I did have a stint as a busboy and dishwasher, which is usually one and the same, at a small little restaurant in Phoenix called Jerry's. And it was next door to a wonderful little place that had a miniature golf called the Johnson's. I think it was Johnson's Green Gable, something like that. And the thing that troubled me, and I don't know if you had this problem, Jeremiah, when you were first doing busing, that bothered me, we had to get a health card. You had to go through the local, the health department, and you get your card, you pass the test and so forth. And when I got back after getting my health card, I was trying to live by the rules that I had just learned. What a joke. Nobody cared. They were smoking back where I was washing dishes. I mean, the countertops weren't kept clean like they're supposed and on. And I thought, what's the point? You know, why did I get this card? Because the people that are working there ahead of me who are supposed to have these health cards, they don't care.
They didn't stick to the rules or manage it very well.
Huh? No, not at all.
Well, Soren, how did you get involved? I wanted to talk a little bit about the Enterprise Fish Company restaurants because I did this. I drove by the other day and the roof is off, the one in Santa Barbara, which was opened in 1977. It was the oldest operating Chinese laundry in California.
Wait a minute. The Santa Barbara
before fish, it was Enterprise Fish Company. Yeah, yeah. So it was
the Enterprise Laundry.
Enterprise Laundry. No, that really is what it was called.
Oh, is
right?
It?
It's
okay.
It was on the stack.
So you only had to buy half a sign when you took it over as the fish company.
Right. Yeah. You just had to white out a little bit. So,
but it could have been Wing Chow Mao's Enterprise. Yeah, or it could have been anything on that.
Right. I just think it's so cool. 1977, it's closed now for good, which is very, very sad. And I just found out about an hour ago what it is going to be, but I don't know if it should be out there, so I'm not going to do this on air. But it's not what you think, and it has nothing to do with a restaurant any longer. It is officially gone. I wish somebody would have bought those things and taken them over. I would have done that. I would have, if it was offered to me.
Well,
I would have put the group together because those they should keep going, well, I think.
Well, you're more upset because you forgot to get your laundry and you still have the ticket and now the place isn't there anymore.
Exactly. Well, what am I going to do with the laundry ticket?
I think, in 1979. I was working at Channel Islands across the street and the guy that worked there goes, come on by. I go,
Two years after they opened then, huh?
Yeah, and I walked over and the manager goes, okay, why don't you start tonight? So it was really easy. Mm. And the thing... At the time, there was nothing, no one left, you know, it's just, I guess it had been 2 years. No one's going anywhere. So when you bust, you're busting for like a year. And when you find a guy waiting, you know, trained as a waiter, you're working days for a year. Yeah. So it's a slow boat.
That's right. And what's more is, and I love this, and you don't see this any longer, but the servers would... The head busser would really control the busters. Like you didn't screw up to your head busser. That's all you worried about. You didn't worry about the managers really. Your lead would be all over you. And the same for servers. When you were a lunch server, there was a pecking order and people, they kind of treated you poorly as you're the rookie, you know, even if you'd been there for 3 years, you're still a lunch rookie. You know, you can't handle a Friday night.
It's too much money for you.
That's right.
It honestly, and then there was just this peck from the bartenders on down and you never wanted to screw up because you didn't want to disappoint your fellow staff members. Kat, what was it like for you when you started? You started in Santa Monica?
Yeah. So, okay. Santa Monica, 1999. I started out as a hostess.
99, huh?
Wow.
And then a server, and then eventually a manager. And then I don't know if I was ever GM of that one or if I just stayed manager and then I hopped over to Hurry Curry as the GM of that. Was I GM of that? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Did you have to fire anybody?
Yeah. I was good. I was really good. I feel like I'm good at firing. I'm good at having those conversations.
But I mean, was there a good reason?
Here comes Kat.
Arbitrarily today, I'm going to fire someone.
Actually, I remember, I'm not going to say their name on air, but I'm remembering.
No, Jerry?
We had.
She tried firing.
But darn Jerry. No, but I remember a very, a very emotional and sort of public firing, because the individual was being, these are usually young kids, and they're kind of, I remember trying to teach these kids like what the word integrity meant, and like, you try to lead by example. You try not to like be preachy,
you're already mother.
Yeah. But like, on purpose, like didn't come in for his shift, and then had the nerve to come in and then act like he still had his job, and then like get in uniform and get on the floor. And I'm like, oh, no, you're not on the floor. Like you didn't listen. Like, this isn't how the world works, dude. You know,
this and was Jeremiah, right? This
is, yeah. Like, we're going to send you back Jeremiah to 1979 said, and you're going to be busing again. Start at the beginning. Yeah.
No, I enjoy hard, like when it's not someone I love, I don't mind hard conversations at all.
But there has to be documentation, for 3 or whatever it is, 4 times they did something.
Oh, yeah. I do that. Yeah. I'm all about pants.
I had somebody on their knees. He came in late, and hadn't slept all night, and the guy was sweaty, and he got down his knees and begged me not to fire him.
I still can't believe you put me through that.
I don't know.
Why'd you make me grovel?
By the way, I understand, Kat.
Late. He came back from Vegas like at 3 a.m. and it was not pretty. It was really, really hard, because I tend to be more the friend than the manager. That's kind of my modi operandi. I'm not
modus operandi. Really good at
being, I don't want to be the authoritative figure. I want just to be your friend, but like, let's try to be responsible.
By the way, I understand, Kat, that when you told these people, when you let them go, they're back on busing. What you were referring to that they, for some reason, didn't get was that they were going to be out in front of the restaurant, sitting at the bus bench, waiting for the bus. That's the busing they were going to be doing.
True.
And they just never got it.
But Soren, back to you about kind of wanting to be the friend and like the good cop.
Right.
Mind you, I worked with Jeremiah, who is the sweetest good cop ever. And so when he
sends you out and goes, go fire them.
Yeah, like I got to be bad cop, you know?
No.
So we were a nice team and a good balance. Yes.
I didn't mind firing.
I'm not saying you'd like.
I never fired anybody that didn't see it come and didn't deserve it. So years later, I'm still, most of them have contacted me and say, I learned a lot from that. Or, nobody ever hated me. I did actually almost get stabbed.
Oh.
It actually a fish cutting knife cut through 2 layers of shirt and across my belly. I had somebody that would sit outside with a red pointer laser and call the front desk and say he had me in his sniper
sights.
And he would follow me around the whole dining room all night long. Had the FBI after that. I had sent the FBI after him. There's some pretty I've been kicked. I've been chased to my car and kicked in the shins. Pretty funny story. But I just, going back to Santa Barbara, I put that post out the other day, and I've never had so many, 85 responses and people talking about their personal stories. And then I know that Soren, you belong to, and there are several groups at different age, from the 70s, the 80s.
I started the group. It's 70 through 90s enterprise. But it's Santa Barbara. What I realized is when you posted what you posted and telling your story and people sharing, is it's not just one restaurant.
Yeah.
It's 2 restaurants. So it's information from both places. So I was reading all the stuff that, people I don't know.
Yeah. And there's so many stories. I mean, if you think turnover from 2000 to 2007, I was COO, and I had at the end there 350 employees on average, 25 managers, and between all the restaurants. And the turnover at that point was really, it was 100%. And not because there were so many restaurant jobs. People would come back. They'd go find out, think that the hottest new restaurant, and go check it out. And then they'd go, it's not as fun and great as it is over there. And they'd come back. But there was a lot of turnover. So if you think about all those people that came through those doors from 1977, 1979 in Santa Monica to up until last year, and it's so sad that COVID kind of killed both of them for good.
Yeah. Somebody commented on your post, "Oh, Jeremiah, you taught me to pick things up when I walk by them." And I was like, You like babies, wow. Purses? What the hell were you picking up? Like, you know, anything on the floor, she did some. That's mine now. It's on the floor. Yeah.
I've got all these neurotic people out there.
I understand the point because I had the same thing. It's like there's people that can see the floor and people that can, they're just in the clouds, and there could be a dog poo poo in front of them on the floor and they just don't notice.
Actually, Soren, I know for sure you taught me that.
It's also the first impression. You know, you go outside, if there's cigarette butts in the entrance, you sweep it up. The first impression of walking into a place, having the floors clean, to me is like, you know, the holy grail.
Yeah. Well,
I picked up a baby, a purse, anything on the floor, I just picked it up.
Things you find. That restaurant, if you ever stayed there late at night, in both of them, actually, you could hear, it was like a clamshell where you can hear the ocean. You could hear, it was like in The Shining where you hear the chattering and the people still dining. I'm not joking you at all. Everybody says this.
Well,
Kat, did you ever experience that late night? Did you close late night and just, you could still hear
silverware and like all the time people laughing and stuff.
Oh my God.
It's eerie. It was weird.
So are you claiming PTSD now?
I don't know if old buildings like that capture sound. Like how does a seashell capture the ocean waves? I mean, I'm not.
Or does it?
Or does it?
I do have to tell you one of my favorite firing before we take a break here. Well, I had a manager in Santa Barbara, and poor guy, he drank a lot. He had a drinking problem, so and couldn't find, you know, and those night managers typically find alcohol after a while or some substance because you close at 10 or 11, but they don't get out of there till 2. And there's just 4 hours of just waiting around for cleaning crews and dishwashers. And they end up finding their way to the bar to pass the time. So this manager found the bar and he found the bottles of vodka. And,
uh-oh. Jerry. And, Jerry?
I would pop in. Jerry, yeah. I would pop in at different times all the time. A little statistic that way for my managers, just to see what was happening at all times, you know, anyway, so I popped in a couple times at late at night and he was drunk. And so I sat him down and said, no more. You can't do this anymore any longer. Anyway, I came back the following week and I popped in like 11:30 at night. And he gave me a tour. He was showing me different things that he had done through the night. And I could really smell vodka. And I said, you know what? Whatever his name was, have you been drinking? And he said to me, you can't smell vodka. I didn't ask him what he was drinking. That was one of my favorites. I'm like, you got to pack your bags and go. Oh, we'll be right back. Man. The Jeremiah Show. Kat and Soren.
This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together. Listen to us every Thursday.
Cheers. My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook. It's awesome. Hey, I got a documentary coming out and dropped a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music. Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
Jeremiah D. Higgins has been the chief operating officer of an award-winning Southern California multi-unit restaurant group, director of operations of Santa Monica Seafood Retail Operations. Jeremiah has opened over three dozen original hospitality concepts and is a partner with Mick Fleetwood and developed and opened Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. Jeremiah has helped dozens of restaurateurs build successful businesses in New York, Los Angeles, Hawaii, San Diego, San Francisco, and Santa Barbara. He has advised on new product placement and restaurant apps. He's featured in the best-selling book Restaurant Owners Uncorked and countless trade magazines such as Sante and Restaurant and Hospitality Magazine. Jeremiah invites you to join him and his guests for The Jeremiah Show each week, Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 9 p.m., and Saturdays at noon, when he'll go behind the scenes to hear the stories of the people, the products, the planning that make or break the hospitality business right here at AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Off the rails once again here at the Jeremiah Show.
I didn't think we had. We don't use rails on this show. I can tell you that right now.
Grab that third rail there. Would you? Or the fifth rail.
Just
tell me if it's hot.
Exactly.
Dr. D, go ahead and reach up there. Well, you got Soren Hansen here on the show today. That's so excited to have Soren. He is king of voices. Does so many voices.
He's back.
And you can hire Soren. You know, we all need somebody to do some great voiceover work for ads, for your IG live TV or whatever the heck
bar
it's
mitzvahs.
Called. Bar mitzvahs. Soren Hansen is the man for you. Soren Hansen at Gmail. No. Sorry. Soren Hansen at mac.com. Yeah.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Spell it for us, Soren.
Soren Hansen,
S-O-R-E-N-H-A-N-S-E-N. S-E-N is Danish. So if you meet, my best friend was Steve Wayne Hansen. My name is Soren Wayne Hansen. So people just assume that's either the same guy or they're brothers. Mm-hmm. So I got left out of the yearbook one year because there was a Thor Hansen, a Steve Wayne Hansen, and a Soren Wayne Hansen. They thought, got to have the Hansons covered here. There's just too many. So this left me out.
Thor?
Like, wait, really? There was so a disappointing guy? To open a yearbook. And you're like, oh my, I'm not in it?
Oh,
so they're
there
like,
was really a Thor? Oh, how cool.
They're yeah. just like, there's too many. We got enough.
It took me 2 hours to do my Hansons. Makeup. So that's disappointing.
That is disappointing. I wanted to mention, listen to this hour we are premiering. We're doing a world TGS radio world premiere of a new single.
Yes.
It's The Cliff Room. They're from Santa Barbara, California. The Cliff Room, if you're familiar with Santa Barbara, California, the Mesa has a dive bar called The Cliff Room. It's been there, I don't know how many years. And they took their name from the Cliff Room in Santa Barbara, dive bar. If you get to Santa Barbara, check it out. Great. It's great. It's dark all the time. It opens at 6 a.m. probably.
It's dark all the time because I forgot to pay the light bill. Is that what you're saying?
It's just one of those dark, great old dive bars, which I really like a lot. The song that we're going to premiere is On the Mesa. I'm going to tell you about the band a little bit later before we get to the world premiere here on the radio. We're going to play it in its entirety at the end of the show. Stick around. You're going to love this new single. It drops tomorrow on Spotify. It's called On the Mesa by the Cliff Room. All right, let's get back to the restaurants real quick, and then we can move on to other topics. I just wanted to say the last year and a couple months have been really, really hard on my on this profession that we all grew up in here on the show. A lot of us out there listening have had, started in restaurants in some form or other. We lost a lot of them this year. We're just talking about two giants, the Enterprise Fish Company and Hurikuri of Tokyo, that were successful for 43 years and had to close over after COVID. Well, patios are open and 50% indoor capacity, dining capacity in California is now, has reopened. California is doing really well. I think I heard yesterday that we're the best in the nation right now for reducing new cases of COVID. So great. And I'm just happy for all the restaurateurs out there, friends of the show. There are so many, I can't name them all, that are able to open up a little bit. 50% still is probably in the red, but we're getting there, and so I'll take it. I wanted to ask you guys about this. Have you seen this Well Health Safety Seal that most of the celebrities are endorsing? It's basically a sticker that you put in your window, almost like in Santa Monica or New York and these bigger cities where you've got the A, the B, the C, and then your health permit's yanked. Anything past
never
C.
Heard of it.
Well, this is focused on operational policies, maintenance protocols, emergency plans. The Well Health Safety Rating includes 22 strategies that keep spaces clean and sanitized, provides essential health benefits and services, helps you communicate your health and safety efforts. It's all that kind of stuff. So I love this idea. Well, I wanted to hear, Soren, your thoughts and Kat on... when you see this seal in the window and this Well Health Safety Seal for restaurants and businesses, will it make you feel better, do you think? Or what are your thoughts on seals like this, on ratings like this? In some cases, like the A to the B in Santa Monica, we lost the A one time. It cost us $30,000 in sales, and it was cracked tile. So sometimes these policies, these rules don't really reflect what's happening health-wise. So I wonder if this will be better. Well, what do you think?
Question, is this sponsored by the health department, or is this a private...
I don't know. There's a QR code when you walk up, and you can get the health. It's probably from the health department, I would imagine, or their public health that somehow is involved. I'm really not sure about that, though. So I don't know a lot about it. But you can get the QR code, then you can get all the you can get all the information, their last health report.
If it's like a Better Business Bureau kind of thing, then I feel like it's not really something that I would necessarily trust. I feel like there's ways to get good, you could buy your way into good ratings or something like that. So, but otherwise, say it's all kosher and it's done by the health department. I think it would make me feel good.
Yeah. What about you, Soren?
I like seals, but I prefer porpoises. But that's probably just my personal thing. I think, I know people have gone above and beyond what a city or state has required of them, and no one cared, and they still weren't allowed to have people in there. So I think as a person, just when you work in a restaurant, my pet peeve was, are you greeted? Does someone say hi? Do you stand there not knowing what's going on, where to go, how to order? I think you can go in and see how things are operating and get a sense if you feel like, oh, okay, they're really conscious. They're doing a good job. They're keeping things clean. They're wiping. Sometimes you go to the Rite Aid and they wipe things down 50 times before you can, stand in front of them. So I think it's, I don't know if the seal would be better. But. Yeah.
I do like, though, that there's a real focus. I think if anything, really, if you look at the silver lining out of this, that everyone is cleaning their restaurants better. That there's a joint focus on that, and we all know how important it is. And a lot of restaurants did not get that.
You and I talked about this about the middle of the pandemic last summer, where my thought was, I think that's great, what you just said, Jeremiah. But why weren't they doing this before? It seems to me that they weren't keeping it clean enough. And I'm not saying they're responsible or anything. I'm just saying that's. I'm hoping that they maintain this level of cleanliness once the pandemic is actually over.
Mm-hmm.
That this has become a habit.
Yeah, a good
I really
habit.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, creating good habits. Friends of the show, Suzanne Goen, famous chef Suzanne Goen, and Caroline Stein, I just wanted to announce that they have changed Tavern down in Brentwood to, they're going to do a new AOC. This is just out, this news. They're going to change. There are two AOCs, and they are changing Tavern to AOC. So congratulations and good job. And they've got two new restaurants opening at the proper hotel downtown LA. We got to check those out 2 months from now.
Yeah, I stayed at the proper. It's talk about, you know, setting the tone with the furniture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk for 20 minutes around just looking at all the different furniture in the first in the kind of waiting room bar. It's really, really nice. Mm. So now I have a question about restaurants in Santa Monica, the same as Santa Barbara. They've taken up what, 55 parking spots to put outside seating
Parklets.
In a parking area.
Yep.
And people have gone hog wild and built platforms and stuff. And it looks really permanent. But at what point mm-hmm. do they go, look,
right,
this is city property. We need that parking.
Right.
And we need those meters. You know, how long does that last?
I imagine it happens. There's a notice sent out 30 days after everything reopens. I know that a lot has been taken away, but a lot has been given, and it's got to come. You know, they're going to want it back. And
so the
not
minute
they're 100%
occupancy, boom, you got
to
get rid of that.
I have a feeling, yeah, 75 to 100%. Yeah. I have a feeling that's coming. Yeah, they'll get
because it's kind of cool. I mean, in Santa Barbara, they shut the streets down, and it's like a walk street. It's kind of cool.
It is.
I don't know.
Yeah, Santa Barbara's actually looking a lot better downtown. I know there's a lot of people that don't like the way that it looks, but it's looking a lot more like 3rd Street in Santa Monica. Yeah. We've got to take one more quick break here, or maybe more than one. We'll be right back. Jeremiah Show with Kat and Dr. D and Soren Hansen, original OG host.
Tim Stack here, and I just did the Jeremiah Show and had a really, really great time. Check me out at TV's Tim Stack on Twitter.
Of course Stella Artois tastes better than other beers. We've had over 600 years to get the recipe right. Since 1366, Stella Artois has been painstakingly brewed in a time-honored tradition using the choicest ingredients, which is why our customers have been coming back for over 600 years. Stella Artois. Perfection has its price.
Welcome back. It's the Jeremiah Show.
That's it, huh?
Such a good voice.
Yeah, that's there. It.
That's our
it.
Voiceover. That's all we get.
I got no breath anymore.
It'll that's cost us do. More if he says any more.
Hey, give Soren Hansen some voiceover work. Yeah, every word, two pennies.
How do you chart? By the word?
Breath.
By the breath, I see. What if we just give you a tank of oxygen?
That'd be, yeah, be cheaper.
That'd work too.
Soren Hansen at
But Mac. I have to say, you know, I found this fishing mag. I'm not really into fishing, but I did find a fishing magazine that really caught my eye recently.
Yeah? Uh-huh. Very funny.
Maybe Cat's the one that gets it.
I don't get it.
I got it.
I get it. Really
okay. Caught your eye with the hook.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
I got it.
Dr. Yeah, that's right up your alley.
That's right.
I read Vanity Unfair.
we have a roofing company here in Santa Barbara, and it's Action Roofing. I have a company. It's called In Action Roofing. You call us. We come out. We charge you an estimate, and then we don't do anything.
That sounds like Mexico.
Oh, and there boy. Goes our there wow. goes Mexico as one of our advertisers.
I have friends that practice mixed martial arts. I've been doing unmixed martial arts, and so
we can do this all night.
Karate. My right hand is karate. My left hand does aikido. And I got in a fight with myself like twice last night. So
yeah, who won?
Taekwondo did my feet.
I see.
I like myself in the jaw and knock myself out.
I like kung fu, but I can't stop playing with rocks from one palm to the other. If you can grab the rock from my palm.
You guys should just do your own corny radio show, corny joke radio show.
How is that not a song? You got to snatch that pebble.
The corny.
No, it sounds. You got to snatch that pebble.
Got to snatch that pebble.
Cat, you and I, let's just go take a break. We're going to go get a cocktail. You guys keep telling your dumb jokes.
Well, one thing I was going to share is in Santa Barbara, 2009. My father passes away. I have to load up 25 bins of my hoarding father's stuff and artists and all this stuff. The only person besides people I hired that showed up to help me was Jeremiah.
Oh, wow.
So I owe you, I think, $250. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, the reason why you didn't ask me, because at the time I didn't have a truck. I have a truck now, but it's busy. Whatever day you're moving, I'm busy.
Yeah, so I remember that, Jeremiah, and you had bells on. Your attitude was really good. You worked really hard, and it's like I totally remember that. I remember that.
Oh, well.
And then Kat babysat my daughter when she was like six, and my wife and I didn't. It's like we had no resources. We had no family. Nobody liked us, so we didn't have any support systems. So we trusted her to watch our daughter, and so both of you guys have done really important things in my life.
Oh, that's so sweet, Soren.
So, Kat, can you come over this weekend?
She's 19 now. Damn. She's a little more of a handful. You know what I think is very cool? I started to say this at the beginning, is that we've all known each other for many, many years, over a couple decades. But you would think that by the three of us all talking, yeah, you know,
maturity, but no.
No.
You would think that we talk a lot and that but I just got reacquainted with Kat after a 20-year absence, you know, and then she's now and hosting the show. And I don't know if I ever told that story on here, but Kat, I was driving up and a guest canceled on me 5 minutes away from the radio station one day. And I said, she's texting me. And I was not texting and driving. I voice text back. I'm doing the radio show. Do you want to come on? nobody to talk to, except for Dr. D. No offense, Dr. D.
Okay, everything's turning off. I'm just shutting everything down.
Shut down the sound. But Kat's like, I'm game. And then here she is now, after 20 years of really not talking at all. We hadn't talked for a long time. Here you are.
Yeah.
Soren, I mean, Soren and I come and go in each other's lives every year, every few months. Pick up right where we left off.
Yeah, cool. And it's kind of like that, you know, when you feel like someone's your family or brother, there's, you know, you may not talk to them for a while, but the sentiments, the feelings haven't changed.
Now, wait until
still
you're
a lot
able...
of anger and resentment.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think it's important to maintain a good friendship. You need to maintain, you need to hang on to that stuff, really, because that's all
I think
that's left.
The whole COVID year was a reflection on, people working on their themselves, working on their own inner stuff, working on their spirituality, rekindling friendships, appreciating what they have, appreciating the family, the friends in their life. And I think there has been this reassessment, which has been healthy in a way. I mean, there's other elements to it, but I think that part is actually good.
I will add to that that I've been promoting on my radio program since September of 2019. First, we promoted 2020, the year of perfect vision, encouraging people to do just that, to go within, to work on themselves. Then when we hit 2021, we expanded it to... Jeremiah's playing with his
gerbil. He is a gerbil.
We expanded it to the 2020s, the decade of perfect vision. So you got 9 years to work on yourself. That doesn't mean that at the end of the 9 years, if you haven't done anything, it's over. You can never do it. But we just really want people to do that. And I think you're right, Soren. It's I think a lot of people have, I myself included, have been just spending a lot of that time. Not even because I've been locked down. I've been coming to work every day for the past 14 months. Okay? Jeremiah knows this.
Take a day off there, Dr. D. Take a day off. I got the sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, we got some hot
topics.
Hot topics.
Yeah. Burn your tongue there?
You can, Soren, you should do the intro for us to make it sound cool.
Yeah.
For our new segment, Hot Topics.
How about we do that after
we haven't done Hot Topics since Soren was on.
I always think Hot Topics.
Yeah, really, like Hot Pockets.
It's really hard not to think Hot Pockets.
Kat, you got a couple good ones here. Let's talk about them.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, no. Right. What do you have, Soren?
I was just going to talk about the, Equifax and Experian and TransUnion. There are credit reporting agencies, and yet they're sort of starting to make money off of people, and it's just weird. It seems like, I don't know, I can't get a analogy of something that's parallel to that, but it doesn't seem right that somebody that is dealing with your credit, you have to give them, Experian will do Experian Boost,
right? Right.
$25 a month.
What?
$25 a month to boost your credit. And they want all your information of your car insurance and your bank info and who you pay, because that's like, oh, you have better credit because you make payments to this and that and, whatever's on their list of things that work. I just think there should be a division between someone that's dealing with your credit.
Well, let me just tell you, my comrade Soren Hansen, you do not understand that in America is free enterprise and capitalism. And that is why you are charged $25
to boost. I'm with you. I think it's a little funky. How much did they boost for $25 a month? How much credit do you... The extra points you make,
The more bank info they have on whatever their category of, like, you pay your car insurance, you pay your phone bill, the more of those that you have, the more they go, oh, look, you're paying bills.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, though, because I think before it was $25 a month. I think when this was first introduced, there wasn't a fee, and I boosted.
Yeah, I tried to.
Yeah. And I think, just to play devil's advocate here, is I think what it's doing is it's saying, hey, there are things that are in your life that you pay on, and they are not automatically included in a credit report. So let's say that you have bad credit because of the traditional items, credit cards, revolving debt, and your income to debt ratio is screwed up, whatever, and you're trying to repair those. I see the boost as an opportunity to say, hey, I've been paying my electric bill for 10 years straight. I've never been late. Add that in the mix. Mm-hmm. Help me include some things that are actually positives in there. And I will pay $25 a month if that's what I have to pay, so that my credit, the whole point in doing any of this and even looking at your credit is to improve it and be aware of it.
This is another subject.
That's my take.
But you like firing people, so it's so to me, though, the whole system is not good for people that are struggling and don't have a lot of money, because you can have one credit card for $1,000 and you run that up. They go, oh, your credit's bad. You have $1,000 in debt. But I've had $100,000 in equity before, and I could run up $25,000. They go, no issue. So it's not fair. The system isn't fair in general.
No. Well, I'm dealing with a situation.
Oh, well, I agree with you on that.
Have you dealt with any of these companies who they provide you with, like, you're going to buy something online. It could be from Overstock or whatever. And it's not a huge, maybe $300-$400. And this side.
And you're talking blow up doll, right?
No. Side financing where they will split it up into four equal payments. And then you pay the first payment right then and there. And then four more payments over the next 3 months. And I set it up for auto pay. And my wife just received a text saying that if you don't pay this, and I had it on auto pay, and they say, if you don't pay this, it's going to collections. And we're talking like $33. $33. And for some reason, it's not kicking in. So this is one of the other problems, is more and more companies are getting involved in financing you. It's not a credit card. I guess you'd call that a revolving charge of sorts. But there's no card involved. It's an online account. Yeah. So that's one of the other problems, right, too, is people get sucked into these things. And then, of course, they create more problems. I've negotiated with creditors to where I've decided I don't care how badly it dings my credit. Go ahead. Close the account. Don't charge me any more interest. Here's what my monthly payment's going to be, which is maybe two or three times less, you know, one half to one third less than what I was paying a month. So I'm more concerned about the short term in that respect. And then the long term, now I don't have an outstanding balance in that regard. And every time I make a payment, I'm only paying on principal. And I just say, I'm willing to take the hit.
You know what? This show, it's a good therapy for you, isn't it, Doctor?
It's a financial show.
It's a financial show.
Now a financial money show.
Can we get the next call?
But it's move also along, nice Dave Ramsey.
It's therapy.
Barry from Santa Monica. Why do I keep getting fired?
Hey, I want to. Speaking of credit cards, yes. I just hope you feel better, Doctor D.
I do. I feel so much better.
You got an army of listeners out there helping you out.
That's right.
Rooting for you and your credit card.
You got it.
Since we're speaking about credit cards, Kat, Shaq recently, what did he do? What a great guy. Remember Shaq used to come in and eat all the time and stretch out his legs? We'd have to move tables for him so he could stretch out his long legs.
Damn.
He came in and
ate
a lot.
Yeah, we've had a few. I remember Robert Ory used to come in. He used to come in to see me, but anyway, that's another story for another time.
Wait, Robert
but
Ory?
The Lakers were a fan of the Enterprise that. Fish Company.
No, they were a fan of Kat.
Didn't care about
but,
the
okay, let's get back.
Yeah,
let's get Shaq. Back to Shaq. So I read an article where, so I think what I'm learning about Shaq is, yes, I mean, I've been a fan of his for a long time, but what I'm learning is that he's just genuinely such a nice guy. And so I saw the video, he was in a jewelry store and I guess he's done this before with this at the same store, but there was a kind of a young kid buying an engagement ring, and you can see Shaq pull out his card and hand it to the guy that's ringing the kid up. And, you know, he shakes his hand and he just kind of plays it cool. But what a total teddy bear and what a sweetheart. I love it when people do that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Makes you so happy, yeah. You know?
I worked for a PR company that worked for Epson, and they let us go because they couldn't afford us after they brought Shaq on as a spokesperson.
So you have a different perspective.
So thanks, Shaq.
Yeah. Are you playing devil's advocate to my...
Well, I don't fire people.
So Shaq didn't throw his credit card down and take care of your rent for that month, eh, Soren?
No, he's basically, when it comes to spokespeople, he'll do anything. So yeah. I don't hold it against him.
What about this? Did you hear about this guy that was in a taco eating contest?
And he
Kat,
died.
This is Kat's story again. I want to know where Kat gets her news.
All you Kat, have to
tell
hear.
Us about this.
It's on the World Wide Web.
Oh,
the www. On the Google.
You mean the internets?
Yeah. I remember. There's a California guy. Yeah. He's 41 years old. His son is suing, correct? Yeah, his 18-year-old son is suing the organizers of the event. So I guess they were at a baseball game.
So they're telling you the end before the beginning.
Yeah.
We already gave away.
Go ahead, Kat.
Oh, sorry. So these guys were at a baseball game, minor league baseball game, and there was an amateur eating competition with tacos and death by tacos. Just on a note, you know, I don't want to make fun of the guy. I mean, rest in peace. And obviously that totally stinks. But there's a lawsuit against, like, you know, the organizers of the event.
Why did he
saying
die?
Like that they didn't disclose the danger?
He only ate one taco, so that's
they were what? Really big tacos.
Disappointing.
They were crunchy and choked on him. Or what?
Yeah,
how did he
I guess
die?
He choked.
He choked. Yeah, that's not a good thing to probably eat fast.
Yeah, hot crunchy. Dogs and buns are a lot easier to get down.
Yeah.
Well, they could have been soft tacos. I don't know what kind of taco.
Soft tacos. I'm wondering though, what like if this happens a lot? Were there any stats on other food eating? Do people die generally in these?
People, I have read stories where people die, and there's one in particular that was sponsored by a radio show, and I just remember this kind of stuck out in my mind, where it was a water drinking competition, and you can die if you drink too much water. Basically, don't eat or drink or do anything too much, I guess.
Well, I think the article also was talking about people that are professional eaters and how they prepare for it and how they're ready for it. And
right
now I'm an amateur eater, but I'm pretty good at it. But I've been practicing.
Well, I will tell you that I'm going to play the devil's advocate and say basically that these individuals who, and again, I would say the same thing as you, Kat, my condolences for your loss. You know, it's a shame. However, you chose to shove that thing into your face and consume it in the way that you did. Why is the company that provided the tacos or that set up the event, why are they responsible for your actions?
Well, there had to be a waiver, I'd imagine.
I would think there was a woman, and I remember this because while I was in jury duty for one of the few times I was there, and I was sitting out in the regular audience section, you know, in the gallery, waiting to be picked to go up in the seat of 12 seats there. And they were asking these different questions. And as they were asking these questions, I was able to basically figure out what the case was about. And basically, it was about a woman on the 4th of July who was out at the harbor, and she needed to use the porta potty that was apparently tied to the dock but still floating in the marina, and the accusation was that there wasn't sufficient lighting or railing. She had also been drinking a number of glasses of wine, tripped, fell, and broke out several of her teeth. And as I am listening to the questions by both the prosecution and the defense, I'm sitting here going, if I get picked to go up there, I'm going to say I've already ruled that the woman gets no money from the city, because she was the one who chose to drink all of that wine, get inebriated, and then go out to the porta potty to do her thing, and trips and falls and blames it on the city.
Thing.
Yeah, today.
Soren, your thoughts.
Was this? I think I saw that on Perry Mason.
But what do you think about that, Soren?
Did you feel any time you were close to the porta potty?
Your Honor, would you please ask
I do
the witness
Jerry,
to?
I do a Perry Mason. That's how it old.
Do you really?
Do a couple of your. Do a couple for us. What do you got there, Soren?
Yeah,
can you do on cue?
I don't know.
You can't do on cue. Do you
any
do
cartoon
a,
characters?
Don't.
Yeah, I can do Popeye.
Ice lives for me spinach. I can't believe the things that go out here. It's crazy.
He's got two voices. He's got the and then he's got the under the breath.
Oh yeah.
You're an actor. But, you're an artist. You're a voiceover talent. You're looking at working. You're working more in the voiceover talent area. Soren Hansen.
Sort of.
Hire him. Soren Hansen at mac.com.
Okay.
Sort of.
Shall we break and come back?
Do we need a break?
Yeah, we do.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Get some water there, Soren.
Yeah.
That voice of yours. Let's keep that thing golden.
That's right.
We're with Soren Hansen.
I'm an amateur drinker, too.
Soren Hansen, The Jeremiah Show with Kat and Dr. D.
Cowboys, they're crying for you. Their lassos for Porsches and cocaine. highways connected to Jessup. And me, I just want you for myself. They say I've lost you. And they say it cost me nearly everything I hold dear. Could you come on back to my town? Sure, I've had some other girls around. Could you come on back to my town?
I'm Brooke Williamson, Top Chef Season 14 winner, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show, so don't go away.
You're listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Find all of our past shows on iTunes, podcasts, The Jeremiah Show.
When I do embellish in wine, I always choose the same. Meridian, Chardonnay, Cabernet, and Cabernet Sauvignon.
Saw in me something I couldn't see.
Honeybee, I can't imagine how my life would be
if all your gravity did not hit me. Oh, don't you see, darling, my honeybee.
But here we are, after all the misses and confessions to the stars that we never meet.
Welcome back to the show. We've been spending the time with Soren Hansen. He is a great friend, a voiceover artist, an actor, and he was original co-host of the show. So welcome back, Soren. You have not been back for 300, let's say you did seven shows, we're at 364. What is that? I can't do the math. But
357.
Okay, thanks. You haven't been back in a long time, Soren. Is there a reason? No, let me ask you this question, Soren.
You told me not to talk about it. You said our lawyers will handle it. I did sign the waiver. My leg is healing.
Oh my God, I love
it. It's a, you know, we talked about it earlier. We sort of come in, you know, circles of people and friends. It's like the yesterday, I just had this feeling to call a friend I haven't talked to forever. And I called her and we were talking about value and self-worth. And if I did something, what would I charge? And she was at this big discussion. While we were talking, her stepmother sent her $1,000. And then you called me. And we were just talking about our self-worth and our value. So I think if I felt better about myself, maybe I would have been on more. So I shifted that. So now I'm back.
I'm sorry I didn't send you $1,000. Sounds like your call was better.
I thought I was going to hear you say that Jeremiah called and said, hey, when are you going to pay me that $1,000?
Well, Woody Allen called.
Okay. Sorry.
Did you see that $1,000? I didn't see it.
The last year or so has been... God, what a year. It feels like two or three. What have you been up to, and what have you gained? What type of perspective have you gained from...
You talking to me?
Yeah, Soren Hansen. Soren Hansen.
It's sort of what we touched on it earlier, that it's, you know, astrologically, spiritually, everything is sort of saying, there's a change, there's a shift in our consciousness and our awareness. And part of it is us going inside, understanding ourselves, and taking responsibility for who we are and what we create. And sort of, you know, not for me, it's not losing your seniority to some person or some thing or some event or some cause outside of myself. It's, you know, really trying to be centered in who I am and not get caught up. I've been trying to be very neutral because there's a lot of factors that divide people right now, a lot of opinions that divide people. So I've been trying to sit with neutrality and not get too caught up in stuff.
Do you think that's, this is the time we need to sit in neutrality, or are there?
No,
I guess it's different for everybody, but
I think it's a divisive time.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can be neutral to it, that's great. But we all have different programming. My programming is pretty liberal, progressive California guy. That's the thinking around me. That's what I grew up with. But I try to be open to different, you know, different ways of being. And cats in Texas, I don't think people are the same out there. It's a little different, you know. So you know, there's pockets, I know, and, you know, everywhere there's little pockets of different, you know, ways to be and to think.
I want to go back to the phone call you had with your friend, because we kind of made light of it, and you were actually, that was a serious statement, and I appreciated it. You were introspective about your own worth. Both of you were thinking about your own worth, and then you both had phone calls. But you said, if I valued myself more, maybe I would have come on more on the show, on the radio show, or maybe right. done more voice. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What do you mean? Have you learned to value yourself, like, you know, better?
Or it's like, if there's a dog that's always going and wincing, that doesn't want to get kicked, you kind of want to kick it. So, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? So it's like, if somebody's really confident and feels good about themselves, you want to be around them. If they're struggling and they're having issues and they're struggling in different, you know, financially or emotionally or relationship wise, you maybe pick up on it. You sense it at some level, and either you want to go there with them or you don't, you know, mm-hmm. depends.
Isn't that usually when the people need us probably the most, that are going through those struggles? And I think we talked about this a few weeks ago with Mariel and Ann, about you kind of shy away from it because you said you don't want to go there. Maybe you're feeling great. Your life's 100%.
Well, a good example is when you get divorced. When you get divorced, people freak out that are married, because they're so lit up or activated, or whatever the word you want to use, in their own relationship. It's really hard for them to talk. No one, when I got divorced, nobody talked to me about it. Nobody came forward, go, I support you or anything, because I think everybody's so activated at that process that you're going through. They're like, I may have some issues with my wife and I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to go there. So that's kind of a good example of, you know, you're kind of going, I don't want to step into that. Mm. What they're going through, because it's reflecting, everything's a reflection of self, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah. How much
do someone sent me a quote of, like, the Dalai Lama saying, if you have, you know, about your thoughts, or just, you know, you're creating them.
Yeah, that's what I was getting.
And I was calling imaginary conversations in the future. You know, I'm gonna go up to them and tell them I'm mad about the thing and try to. It's an imaginary conversation you're having in the future about something that doesn't even happen yet. Mm-hmm. So we get ourselves pretty stirred up.
Oh yeah.
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 Well, we're going to have to wrap this show up, unfortunately. Soren, I hope you feel good enough about yourself right now to come back. Everybody,
yes.
Every
day.
Communicate,
please.
Listen more. It was a lot of fun catching up with you. And find Soren. Soren does amazing, as you can tell, great voiceover work. And you can hire him for a commercial or to read your book that you wrote, or
Windows,
just hire him to, like, walk around with you and narrate your day. That's what I'm going to hire you for.
A personal
my day.
I call
day.
Myself an anti-life coach.
Beautiful. You're hired.
And by the way, I don't know if this will cheer you up or not, Doran.
Doran.
Well, actually, I have a friend in Phoenix. His name is Doran Fronterhouse.
I've never heard Doran.
Yeah, Doran Fronterhouse was also a voice talent back in Phoenix. Anyway, I was taking Metaphysics 101, and I got thrown out of the class and was failed because during one of the tests, I looked into the soul of the kid sitting next to me. So there you go.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I've been thinking something I could do is be an asset mismanager. I've been thinking about
that. No, Bernie Madoff.
Disrupting is being a disruptor is so like hip these days. So I actually think you could get away with it.
You could.
I'd love to see who signs up first. I got to hear about this.
All I know is I went to look in my wheelhouse and there was nothing in it.
Not even the wheel.
Not even a wheel.
Not even the wheel.
Soren, you want to take us out for old time's sake? Take the show. Take it out.
Yes.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show, episode, what episode are we at?
364.
3, 6, and 4. That's 10. That's 3. That's 13. That's a 4. Ooh, it's a 4.
Oh, yeah, 4.
No wonder I'm so tired.
Yes.
Is that it? That's audio. Soren.
Give me some copy.
Soren Hansen. Yeah,
you're the writer.
Oh, my God. Kat? Good to see you there in Austin, Texas, Dr. Deep.
Mm-hmm.
Right Soren here. Hansen.
Likewise.
Los Angeles.
All right.
The Cliff Room, formed in 2020 in Santa Cruz, California. The songs are melancholy and honest. They're inspired by Ryan Ayala, he's guitar and vocals, and Andrew Kuykendall, slide guitar and vocals, Vagabond Youth, Christina Rohr Kemper, local Santa Cruz musician. Really love her voice in this single. She plays bass guitar and sings harmonies. We've got Patrick Ferraro, a local Santa Cruz musician. He also plays a mandolin. Cross Williamson, Ojai filmmaker and pianist. He's on the keys. Their first EP will be released this June. The single that you are about to hear, On the Mesa, is released on Spotify Friday, April 9th. Follow them. Love it. It's just really, really good. This is The Cliff Room. On the Mesa. Enjoy. Everybody have a great day. Communicate, listen more, and evolve. One more.
this is comedian Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at ShowJeremiah on Twitter and Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Evolve.
The colors are red and yellow, on fire, the clouds would catch the colors of red and yellow. They were beautiful, the most beautiful sky in the night.